listening to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch, episode 554. My name's Dave, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Wayne, as we continue our journey with the Netflix speculative series, Black Mirror. This is another morning recording, and you're on spring break, first day of that. So I know you'll enjoy it, although you got to run to practice in a couple hours.
Yeah, that's the thing about, like, playing lacrosse or coaching lacrosse is, like, spring break is really never a thing. Like, I never had spring break in college or anything. When I went to high school, we didn't even have spring break. No one got spring break in high school. And then, you know, when I started teaching in the public school system, you know, I was coaching lacrosse. So, you know, I've never, like, really gone away for spring break or anything like that. It's just always been a kind of staycation kind of thing. Good chits get caught up on TV, though.
Yeah, sure. But it's always interesting when you're coaching, because with good programs, which is, you know, pretty much what you and I have both been associated with in our coaching career, we're going to plan a tournament over spring break, or at the very least, we're going to practice over spring break. They might get a day or two off. And then you start getting the parent emails. Well, we were planning to go to Austria to ski, and, you know, so, you know, our child can't make practice. Well, yeah, okay, but he or she's not going to play in the first game we get back.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair. Well, I told you six months ago this was what the schedule was going to be.
Yeah, and when I was, you know, when I was like the JV head coach, like it took me a couple years. You know, the first year, all of a sudden, like, you know, you don't say, you know, I didn't say anything back in the fall about spring break. So all of a sudden the whole team is on vacation the whole week. Like, all right, fix that. So, you know, the next year, like, I announce it way ahead of time. And, you know, like she said, you get the parents who are upset because they're taking their kids someplace ridiculous for the week. And, you know, they don't want little Johnny to have to suffer any consequences for anything. And then, you know, so I had finally kind of got ironed out, like, what days to practice, you know, the level of requirement for spring break. You know, again, as a JV coach, it's, you know, like, you know, it's JV, you know, it's not varsity and everything, but, you know, you still, you know, make kids accountable and everything. And then, you know, but I haven't been the head guy. I'm just helping out actually a former player this year. He's the head coach, so, like, I forgot to give him the lowdown on what I had learned about spring break practices. So, but I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, because you're really
you can cut all that out if you want.
Yeah, no. So you're teaching these kids really what they're going to have to expect at the next level. So you're not giving them, you know, off completely. But anyway, they get the idea. All right. Well, speaking of practice, we typically record on Monday. I don't know what that has to do with practice.
That was not a good segue. But that, it was a nice try.
So any feedback's got to be in Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Audio feedback has a strict six-minute limit. All right. What I am watching this week, I think I mentioned that I was canceling Acorn TV because there didn't seem to be anything else on there. I think I even said last week or the week before, we like shows that are a bit more edgy than some of these UK shows that were popping up in Acorn. But with 4 or 5 days to go on my Acorn TV, I discovered a French crime drama called Balthazar. And, of course, what I ended up having to do, because there's 5 seasons of it, I had to uncancel, and that was a whole other headache last night. And I think I may actually have subscribed twice with 2 different the same for Acorn TV, but hopefully I'm not going to get charged twice. But anyway.
Right. You probably end up with a subscription to Good Housekeeping as well.
Yeah. But anyway, it's this eccentric medical examiner who alternately clashes with and lusts after the attractive lead detective. 5 seasons, as I mentioned. Apparently, it was one of the top 10 shows in France when it aired. And, you know, I think just the storylines on these Euro shows are just seem to be a lot more clever than what you see in the U.S. shows. Great cast, and, you know, so we're like at the end of season two, so, you know, I'll run it for another month and then cancel it and pick up another one of these European streaming services. So, anyway, what do you got?
Cool. Well, I've been watching a lot of basketball recently, actually. I didn't know if you realized it was the NCAA tournament.
I did, and I'm not really into basketball anymore. I was saying to Mary the other day, I don't know what happened over the last 10 years, but I just lost interest completely. I've never been an NBA fan, but, you know, followed Maryland basketball quite a bit. But
sure.
Not so much now. If I was going to watch any basketball, it would probably be Iowa. But
oh yeah, yeah, with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway.
Yep. Well, you know, it's so funny because this past weekend, my daughter was playing up in Fairfield. They have spring field hockey, so we took a road trip up to Connecticut, as most people do now this time of year, So we're in the hotel and watching the basketball games. You know, I'm like, it's really funny because I don't really care about basketball at all during the regular season. But as soon as the tournament starts, I can't turn away. Like, I can't stop watching it, you know? And, I mean, I get part of it is, like, the consequences, right? Each team is either win or go home, like, that part of it. And, you know, obviously the excitement of, you know, seeing – the underdogs doing well, even though the underdog this year, the big one is Clemson, which is like not a huge underdog and everything. So, but I don't know. It's just weird. But I love March Madness. But what I thought was hilarious was on SiriusXM, Alt-2K station, they're playing like a bunch of emo songs from the first two decades of the 21st century, and they're calling it March Sadness.
Oh, I love it.
Which I thought was freaking hilarious. Yeah, it was great. So, So the other thing was we watched the movie Napoleon. Have you seen Napoleon? You definitely have not. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes long. There's no way.
Dude, the last two movies that I saw were 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if I would really recommend Napoleon.
Okay.
It was pretty good, but it's like I guess this would be like I guess if they made a greatest hits compilation for Napoleon, that's what this movie would look like, you know? I feel like it would have been a much better movie if they just focused on one period of time rather than trying to cover basically his whole professional career, right? It starts off with, I can't remember, the Toulouse, I believe, was the first battle, and then, you know, of course, and spoiler, he dies at the end, but, you know, it was just so, it seemed like superficial in nature. And, you know, you'll probably be horrified to hear this, but they actually maybe should have been like another 2 hours longer, which is crazy to say, obviously not marketable, but they would just blast through his, I was like sitting there on Wikipedia actually trying to remind myself of what had happened in his life, because it skips so much. You're just like, you know, my daughter's like asking me, well, wait, why are they doing this? Why are they going into Russia? I'm like, okay, I think I remember kind of why, but let me check it out on Wikipedia real quick, a little quick refresher before I tell you. So, Joaquin Phoenix is a really good actor. I thought he did a great job. But like I said, it just, yeah, the battle scenes are pretty cool. I'm not going to watch it again. Yeah. So.
All right. Sounds good. Now, I did start watching Three Body Problem on Netflix, which.
Yeah, so did I. But I thought you were going to talk about it, so I laid off.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, what happened with me, and I've mentioned this phenomenon a number of times, my wife. She's a voracious reader of newspapers and magazines, most of which she does online these days. But as I've said, she comes up with lists of shows and movies that she might want to see. And she said, oh, here's that show you were talking about. I said, well, look, I'm two episodes in. If you want to watch the first episode and then see what you think, and then I'll stop if you're into it. So, of course, we watched the first one. And she's like, I really like this. I don't want to watch the next episode right now, but so anyway, I'm stuck after episode stuck. 2. So, gotcha. So we'll see.
Yeah. That's as far as I've gotten to, but it seems I haven't read the book, but it seems really good.
Yeah,
so far.
Well, yeah. And the thing that I guess helps me watching this is that I understand the book more than I gave myself credit for. So that was certainly encouraging. But all right.
Well, I do appreciate you putting at the top of the Facebook post that there were spoilers in it. So I've kind of stayed away from the discussion of Three Body Problem on Facebook.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, let's get to Black Mirror, San Junipero, Season 3, Episode 4, written by Charlie Brooker, directed by Owen Harris. This season was released October 21st, 2016. So from the things that I've read, San Junipero is considered by many people to be the best episode of Black Mirror. And I get the sense it's more than just the fact that it's one of the few really uplifting and optimistic episodes.
Right.
So does that seem to be your sense as well?
Oh, yeah. People love this episode. Like, it is universally acclaimed for sure. It is not my favorite. I might go with Black Museum for that one. But it is an awesome episode. It is really, really good. And it is refreshing because I believe Fred mentions it. Like, you're kind of like waiting for the terrible thing to happen. The Black Mirror awful twist. And it doesn't come. It's actually kind of mostly a pretty nice, uplifting, positive, makes you actually feel better about humanity rather than the other way. So
yeah, and it's funny because you get to the end, and surprise, surprise, we might jump around in the plot discussion here. Because, I mean, at its core, it's a love story. But for me, it goes a lot deeper than just Kelly and Yorkie. And for a bit, we're sort of resigned to the fact that while this isn't a horrific ending like so many Black Mirror episodes that you just alluded to, but they're not going to end up together, and we recognize and realize that, well, if they don't end up together, it's because Kelly is so in love with her husband who died. Right. And that she feels that, I don't want to say she would be cheating on her husband, but you know what I'm trying to get at. So
yeah,
we understand where she's coming from there. So while she may have fallen in love with Yorkie, she's got that daughter and husband still in her mind and in her heart.
Right. Oh, and Fred mentions it as well. It's this, she believes, she admits she doesn't really believe it. But she hopes that there is some kind of afterlife for her, in the, I guess, traditional sense, I guess we'd call it, where she would be reunited. And, Fred talks about how, close this episode hits. I think probably, I imagine for anyone whose parents have passed or who have elderly parents. There's a lot in this episode that kind of, hits close to home. Just like this idea of, of a place where, you see all the people that you loved and, everyone, you see your dogs and everything that have gone before. It's sometimes it's difficult to reconcile that with humanistic, I guess, contemporary approach to the world. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure. And that's, again, one of the things that this episode confronts the viewer with is that philosophical issue of whether there is an afterlife or whether when you die, that's it. And as you we're just pointing out, that's kind of the dilemma for Kelly at the end. And of course, she decides to jump into San Junipero because, on the one hand, if you if you believe that when you die and there is nothing, then why would I not choose to be with somebody where I know what the end result is going to be?
Right, right, right.
So,
exactly. And we don't condemn Kelly's husband, right? Like, his reasoning for not wanting to go to San Junipero is like, yes, it wasn't an option for our daughter. So, you know, just on that off chance that, you know, like, okay, maybe I don't necessarily believe in the, you know, afterlife as, you know, many religions dictate that it is. But, you know, he's kind of saying, but if there's a chance, then I'm going to take that to see my daughter again, you know, and that I totally get that.
Sure. And as a love story, even though these are two characters we've never met in the episode, we still understand that his decision is love-based. And, you know, as right. you said, you know, on the off chance, this is going to be my decision. But the thing that throws me for a bit of a loop, though, at the end with Kelly and Yorkie is Kelly's admission that marrying her was a gesture, just a kindness. I don't know that I necessarily believe that, and I'm a little confused as to why she would even say that. I mean, we get it with Greg. Greg's completely up front, right. and he's a good dude for doing that.
He is. Yeah, Greg, he's a great guy. I felt like, you know, she realized that Yorkie has taken this to mean that now, right, that Kelly wants to come to San Junipero for good, and she doesn't, you know. So I think it's probably her way to kind of distance Yorkie from her emotionally, right? Like, if she admits, well, yeah, I do love you a lot, but I also love my husband, so that's why I make the decision. Like, she's giving her, you know, Yorkie that glimmer of hope, where she just says, hey, I just did this out of a kindness for you. You know, so she's able to distance herself emotionally from that and would be, you know, more comfortable, I guess, with the decision that she'd made.
Yeah, and she's giving herself the opportunity to buy some time, because clearly she's conflicted over what she wants to do here. So,
sure.
I think that was probably the best thing to do. You know, as an episode, as a setting, it doesn't take us long to get the impression that, okay, this is either some sort of virtual reality or the afterlife. You know, are these people in purgatory waiting to go on the up elevator or the down elevator? We don't know, but right. but certainly we figure that out pretty early. The thing with the time limit is I guess the first clue. Then the 1 week later motif, which I really like, and we finally get an explanation for what the deal is there. But again, like so many episodes, the rewatch enables you to pick up the clues that you kind of missed the first time. And there were some good ones, one of which was a musical clue, which I'm sure, I forget which of our feedback providers mentioned it.
I believe that's from Alan from England, right?
Okay.
The Smith's tune, Girlfriend in the Coma.
Yeah, which is a great scene because again, one of those clues that it's a virtual reality is when the bartender, or, no, not the bartender, that guy Wes, says, well, you might check her in 1980 or the 90s right. or 2002. So, okay, well, that's cool. So you can dial in a specific time period. So certainly that. And I think that's the scene then when Yorkie is changing outfits and changing her look. And I mean, certainly we've seen Mackenzie Davis who plays Yorkie in other things, not the least of which is Station 11. And then I've mentioned a show, Halt and Catch Fire, which I don't think you've seen, right?
I have not seen that, but at some point I have to watch it, though.
Yeah, I don't even
know.
Says
it's really good.
I don't know what service it's on, but yeah, she's great. And that was my first experience with Mackenzie Davis. But just seeing the look and what the possibilities are, and you're thinking, or at least I'm thinking, it's like, no, stay with that one. And I think it was maybe the Robert Palmer song, which just kind of got her hair slicked back and like, all right, that was cool. I mean, the other ones look good too, but.
Well, that was like a little joke because that's the dress that all the women were wearing in the video.
Exactly.
Addicted to Love, which I think Alan from England notes would probably not go over super well nowadays.
Yeah.
I think that video would get Me Too'd right out the door.
Yeah. Not hot for Teacher, though. That would still,
that was all right.
Yeah. But one of the first clues is that video game when that nerdy guy, and I know I felt like, you know what, she's going to end up with the nerdy guy, which, of course, is not the case, but he's offering for her to play a game called Top Speed, and there's immediately a car crash, and you see it really jolts her. And of course, once we learn what her fate has been over the last 40 years, it's understandable that, nah, I don't want to play a game where there's a car crash.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But we see, because also later when Kelly almost wrecks the Jeep.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, you should have seen your face. You know, she's like laughing at it. But like, obviously, we have picked up already that something has happened to her in a car crash. And, you know, I don't know if by that point, like, again, it's been a while since I've seen this. And so I can't remember exactly, like, at what point in this episode did I finally sort it out that it was like some kind of alternate reality? I hope that it was earlier on, but I don't know if it was or not. But yeah, the car crash, we definitely see, they give us a lot of clues about her, and car crashes and how that affects her.
And then she doesn't want to dance with a girl. Everybody's looking. And again, we judge her attitude, I guess, by her outfit and the nerdy glasses. And okay, maybe she's just one of these really self-conscious individuals. And okay, fine, I get it. She runs off the dance floor. Now, of course, we learn later that the car accident that left her a quadriplegic was the result of her parents' refusal to accept the fact that she likes women. And okay, well then we get the fact that, we don't necessarily know what year it is, I don't think, but.
No, that's funny because
when they show
Kelly's casket being lowered into the grave, I like actually stopped it, probably out of a mordant desire to see whether they were my age, right? I feel like they're probably a little bit older. Like if I were going to go to an ideal place, it would not be an 80s club. It'd be like something from the 90s, right? So I feel like these people are supposed to be slightly older than I am. But on the tombstone, it just says their ages. It doesn't say any birth or death dates on it.
So. Right. And that's very Black Mirror to leave us guessing, because we don't necessarily know what era these, two individuals were, say, in their 20s. We know that Yorkie's been in this state for 40 years in the hospital. And I forget, at one point, Yorkie, I think, says to Kelly, well, that this isn't your era or whatever. Like you said, why would you pick the 80s? Oh, my God. I mean, I look back at photos, and especially old yearbooks from the 80s. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm looking at my softball team picture. And the girl's hair in these pictures was just,
that was hot back then, man.
How did I not make them wear hats?
it is funny. And But actually the music by and large is good. I could totally do without Robbie Neville's C'est la vie. I hated that song from the second it came out. And like to hear it, like, you know, that's part of me is like, okay, like, is this really, is San Junipero that great? Like, wouldn't all this, first of all, get old after a while, especially when we, you know, when Yorkie goes back to the was it Tucker's, right?
Yeah.
And they're playing the same songs. I'm trying to, if I can't remember which songs are playing. I know, like, but anyway, it's basically the same song that had been playing, like, the last time she was there. So it's like, if they're just hearing the same songs all the time and doing the same, like, you know, isn't there a point at which this kind of gets old? I mean, maybe you say going out to clubs and being young forever and not having to worry about anything like, you know, dying or anything like that, or you could just go and have fun every night. Wouldn't that be great? But also would that not maybe get old after a while? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, good song title, Forever Young. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Now, we mentioned Mackenzie Davis. Kelly played by, and I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce the actor's name, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who apparently is in the Loki TV series, which, of course, I don't watch. But
oh, yeah. Knew she looked familiar.
So
I didn't look it up.
But you mentioned Tucker's, which is the club that they primarily go to, although I think I'd spend more of my time at the Quagmire, but hey, that's I guess just my
right. Well, they're playing the Pixies. Like, that's okay. I think the Quagmire is all right.
Yeah. But when we get to the end and we see the fact that these people's consciousness are stored on this massive bank of computer for a company that TCKR, which I'm sure stands for something, but now we know, oh, that's why Tucker's. But, you know, you mentioned the fact that you wouldn't choose the 80s and San Junipero, but I get the impression that you can go to San Junipero in any of a number of time periods. Or am I wrong that, say, if you want to go to 1996, as she does briefly, you're not in San Junipero anymore? See, I looked at it like you could pick your time period at San Junipero.
Yeah. Okay. That totally seems like. I'm just, you know, just wondering, like, I mean, they're there forever. Like, I mean, do they get – do Kelly and Yorkie have a fight and they get sick of each other and they – break, you know, like there's a, it just seems like, I don't know.
Well, see, I would get like, the impression that once you are there permanently, you've got a lot of options that you probably are not locked in. In fact, at the end, when Kelly comes to pick her up in the Jeep and Kelly's wearing a wedding dress, and it's like, you didn't dress up for me. And we don't see it, but I guess what she blinks and she's got a different outfit.
Right.
So I'm assuming there's some way that they can go to different time periods. I mean, why not? Oh, my God. I don't even know what time period I would want to visit. In terms of purely hedonistic emotions, you know, yeah, the 80s, there's worse times in the 80s, but, sure. But yeah, just to explore, that's a whole lot.
So the songs that we're replaying was, Heart and Soul by Tapao and, Lean on Me by Club Nouveau.
Okay.
So, but that is just, you know, again, first of all, I like both those songs. Most of the songs that they played here are songs I really, really liked from the 80s. Except for C'est la vie. My God, I hate that song. But that's a great question of what time. And even if I say, oh, like I would totally pick, like, you know, somewhere around 1993, maybe, you know, like whatever. Like, you know, Kurt Cobain's still alive. The Nirvana music, you know, Pearl Jam, grunge. That would kind of be my jam. But I would think after a while, I'd be like, okay.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mentioned SiriusXM before. It's like I'll go through a phase where I just want to listen to Lithium all the time, which is their 90s station, right? And then I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm kind of getting tired of this. So, I'll go Alt-2K for a little bit, you know, and I'll be, want to listen to that for a while and then kind of get sick of that. And then I'll move to First Wave, which is the 80s station and everything. So, I guess, if you can just kind of keep flipping around like that. But, it just seems like forever is a really, really long time, and that just partying and dancing every night eventually, right?
But we get the impression that that wouldn't necessarily be the case, that we could certainly see Yorkie and Kelly at the beach house just chilling with a couple drinks
that would get old too. What could you possibly do forever that you wouldn't get completely sick of? Right.
Well, I think it might be Kelly that says it, although it could be Yorkie. One of them, I feel like, makes some sort of offhand comment toward the end about the ability to walk away from, I assumed she was talking about the relationship. Maybe I'm making that up, but for some reason, I feel like I heard that. But the other thing that's cool about this episode, the storytelling device of the 1 week later visual slides, and then at the end we learn, it's sort of like therapeutic for these elderly patients to be able to spend 5 hours a week at San Junipero or wherever. And I forget who makes the comment, maybe it's Greg or whoever, that, well, it can't be more than 5 hours, at any one time, because it will cause physical or, emotional, intellectual problems, whatever. But we learn that this is Yorkie's first night at San Junipero. And then when we are introduced to Kelly's character and we realize it's sort of like an extended trial period for Kelly. We learn that she, I think, has cancer.
Yes.
And is told that she only has a few months to live. So she's going to, live it up in San Junipero as long as she can. And obviously she has time to make that final decision about whether to employ euthanasia and then make a decision, either go to San Junipero or not.
But Kelly is, she's made her decision, right? Like, she's just living it up.
Right.
Like, she hasn't been able to because, she's been an adult. She hasn't been young for ages, right? So so she's just getting her kicks in before what she ultimately knows she's going to do, which is she's not going to ever become a resident. When she dies, she's going to just die. And so she's just kind of having her fun while she can. That's why she doesn't want to be involved with anyone, right? She doesn't want to get into anything meaningful or deep. She just wants to have some fun. And then when it's time.
Yeah.
So kind of respect that.
Yeah. What about the quagmire?
Love the quagmire.
right away, the quagmire. Oh, you don't know what the quagmire is? Okay. And so we see her walking up there and the motorcycles, pass her, and we're thinking, biker bar. Well, yes, biker bar, BDSM bar. Okay. Yeah. Fight club bar. They got a little cage in there with the two guys beating the crap out of each other, and we assume they've got their pain setting set to zero, but you never know.
Seems like a pretty nihilistic place, though. But they are playing Something Against You by the Pixies, which is that is the best song in this entire episode, so it's really good.
Yeah. So you mentioned a few minutes ago what would you do after you're there a while? Are there other bars besides Tucker's and the Quagmire? Well, we have to assume there probably are. You know, do they have professional sports? Now I'm making air quotes there.
Yeah, right.
You know, why would they not?
Can you travel the world there, right? I just thought about that one.
Yeah.
I mean, can you go visit, like, Paris or something, you know? Like, I mean, it's just like forever is so long, though.
Right.
You know? Like, it's just – that's the thing that just at the end of this, I just couldn't get out of my head. It's just like how what is day-to-day life going to be like? Like, you know, because forever is just a really, really long time.
Yeah.
So.
You know, and it's funny because this is – really a great episode. Fred gives it an A+. I don't know that I'm ready to give it the plus sign, but it's certainly a full-on A. Just a wonderful episode on so many levels. I also then started thinking, like, well, okay, it is a deep episode, but it's not that deep. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is, what else do we need to talk about in terms of this episode?
Yeah. Well, you know, Fred, I knew Fred, this was going to hit home for Fred because, you know, the euthanasia aspect of it. And it's actually my daughter's roommates from the Netherlands and her grandmother. She was just performed euthanasia on her grandmother. She just flew over there and flew back the other day. Yeah, this is where, like, kind of like listening to Fred talk about it, I'd never really even thought about it beforehand. And it seems like for us in America, I guess it's probably anathema to so many people to think of that as a possibility. But, you know, I know for lots and lots of people who are in terminal conditions, they probably would like to have that option, be able to go out on their own terms and everything. And they certainly play it like that here, right? As you know, this ability for them to choose. I think Fred calls the liberty to choose, which I think is definitely part of it, right? Like they make choices. Kelly has, you know, wants the freedom to make her own choice and not have Yorkie pressure her into a choice. Ultimately, she does make a choice to stay. And you're right. It's funny how they did because they reunite. If you turned it off when the first credits come up, then you would miss Yorkie and Kelly getting together again. You know, like I said before, I think after, you know, witnessing my own father's, you know, decline in health and his passing away. You know, he had a chance to, you know, to pass away peacefully at home. He wasn't euthanasia. There's probably loads of people who would like that, who would be denied that opportunity. I don't know. It's just this, from recent events over the last year, this episode has turned out to mean a lot more to me now than it did when I first saw it.
Sure. And I think if you're a listener in a country other than the United States, you might be thinking, because I can't help thinking it, the hypocrisy of, you know, these approaches we take in the States. No, we can't give somebody, you know, the option to take this, and then you because, oh, well, that's killing people. That's right. Killing people's bad. Well,
yeah.
Except if there's an AR-15 assault rifle,
right.
I guess,
right.
You know,
that's fine.
Right. But
yeah.
You know, go in and shoot up a classroom full of elementary school. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Allow somebody this option. Nah, that's killing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. The hypocrisy and of stuff like that in this country is galling.
But as you said, I mean, we are at an age where, you know, both of my parents have passed away at this point, and as you mentioned about your dad, and I was going to try to show this episode. Mary still hasn't seen any Black Mirror, and I thought, oh, this is a great episode, and I'm like, nah, you know, because, you know, her mom, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I'll opt out of that.
Yeah. It's a very emotional episode. It's like emotionally very, like you said, I don't know if there's like, as you said, I mean, there's definitely depth to this and certainly multiple levels of meaning, but probably the most emotionally resonant episode we've seen so far that we've covered, I think, maybe.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to bring up?
I'll bring it up during Alan Thomas is Alan from Minnesota's commentary at the end. There was something that I just thought about as we were talking, but I'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Just really quickly, some of the songs. First of all, we had Max Headroom on the TV.
I did see that.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm trying to find. So we had, you know, Girlfriend in the Coma, mentioned Heart and Soul by Tapao. Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer. Wishing Well by Terrence Trent D'Arby. That's a great song. I like that tune a lot. Living in the Box by Living in the Box. Not crazy about that song. It's okay. I Need You Tonight by NXS. Love that one. That's a great album. Lean on Me by Club Nouveau. You know, I'd say probably the John Lennon version still is a little bit superior, but it's a good danceable song. Yeah, we'll talk about the song that shall not be named. C'est la vie, I did name it though, and everything. Something Against You by the Pixies. Funky Town by Lips Incorporated. We know we're in the 90s because we're hearing Fiona Apple's Ironic. And then I think we might be up to the last song, which is Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle, which I will admit having a certain fondness for that song. That's called a guilty pleasure, if you will, but that is that's just a catchy tune.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, a lot of good music in this one. Walk Like Egyptian. I missed that one by the Bangles, which is also a pretty good tune.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get to listener feedback. We'll be right back.
This is Alan in Minnesota returning to the scene for feedback on the Black Mirror episode, San Junipero. As I posted about on the Facebook group, I watched a great sci-fi movie on Hulu called Aporia. I strongly recommend everyone check that out. It's only 90 minutes long and the sci-fi elements kick in about 20 minutes in. I've also been rewatching movies from my all-time top 10 as I count them down on social media. That's meant taking in some incredible films that in some cases I hadn't seen in more than a decade. Woody Allen's Crimes and Misdemeanors, Charlie Kaufman's Synecdoche, New York, Francis Ford Coppola's Godfather 2, Mike Leigh's Naked, Billy Wilder's Double Indemnity, and the Coens' No Country for Old Men and Miller's Crossing. Top three, still upcoming. Wayne, I agree with you that Resident Alien is funny, but not exactly deep. I've been AWOL the last couple weeks because I don't especially like the Black Mirror episode Shut Up and Dance or Black Museum, and I didn't want to just come on and crap all over them. But I'm with everyone else in the world that San Junipero is a masterpiece. I was a teenager in 1987, so it was a blast from the past to see that era recreated. Although in the first viewing, I thought the reason they were giving it an optimistic gloss, leaving out some of the worst 80s fashion faux pas, was just because the filmmakers were operating from 30 years later. So then it's a fun twist to realize that it's even further in the past for the characters in the story, and it would make sense that the simulated version would sand off some of the rougher edges of that time and make it an idealized, nostalgic version. This use of nostalgia in virtual reality for the elderly and physically deceased is a great sci-fi concept, and it would make sense that some people would object to it for religious or philosophical reasons. This is also addressed in the Netflix series Altered Carbon, which I never finished, but I still intend to get back to one day. The episode's director, Owen Harris, had to fight Brooker to keep rain in one scene, as Brooker felt a simulated world wouldn't have rain. I don't think that's necessarily true, as there are a lot of people who enjoy the rain, and it would particularly feel weird to never, ever experience it. Sort of like the Matrix idea that you can't just have a paradise existence or your mind will reject it eventually. I love that Brooker purposely made it very Californian as a thumb in the eye to fans who were afraid Netflix was going to make the show too American. And he added the hopeful ending to confound the expectations of those who thought the series was basically written by the Unabomber. Well played, Charlie.
Hello to everyone at Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Alan from England here, mostly with feedback about Black Mirror San Junipero. What I've been watching, Monday I did a rewatch of Dune Part 1, so that then on Tuesday I could go and see Dune Part 2 at the cinema. It's a lot better in the cinema. Awesome story, great effects, everything good, because the only thing is you're watching Part 2 knowing that then by the end of it, really, you're then waiting for Part 3 to kind of complete the story. A bit like watching The Empire Strikes Back, it kind of ends, and then something else has got to continue. Thursday and Friday, I was entirely watching the Three Body Problem series from Netflix in a complete binge. In a way, I'm glad we are doing Fallout soon, rather than Three Body Problem, as there would be no way I could resist just watching all the episodes. I really liked how the parts in China were super faithful to the book, and indeed in Chinese language. And then the other scenes, mostly in England, brought together and mixed characters from books 1 and 2 of the trilogy. My favourite character in the books in the Chinese 2023 series and in this Netflix adaptation remains Da She, or Clarence, the cop, or whatever his official role actually is. Benedict Wong plays him to absolute perfection. His deadpan crumpled delivery is awesome. Black Mirror, San Junipero. Now, compared with some of the more recent darker episodes, this was just an absolute joy. Who doesn't want to revisit the 80s? So much of the show is based in that club. What a great reason for just lots of different 80s tunes. Did you notice Max Headroom on the TVs in that shop near the start? I love the Max Headroom show. On a stuttering Zoom call, the spirit of Max is always with us. I did smile when Girlfriend in a Coma came on, and Yorkie quickly changed it for something else. Obviously, that was a clue, and also a shout-out to Black Museum, in which Wayne noticed there was also a girlfriend in a coma. And she changed music and clothes several times accordingly. We all remember that Addicted to Love video. I don't think that would really fly these days. When Kelly's Jeep goes off the road, it's only later that we realise how traumatic that might have been for Yorkie, as she had had a similar real fate. Yorkie's searching for Kelly across times. Great to see how the clothes, and especially the music, and the sophistication or otherwise of the video games, define those times. The choice to commit to San Junipero seemed like a no-brainer, pun intended, to me, without hazard. They are terminal anyway, and still have the option to end things in that virtual world if they really want, so different to the fate of some of the people in the previous episode of Black Museum. It was very touching when Kelly went to visit Yorkie in real life, and even more emotional when she proposed, because same-sex marriage was still pretty new when this episode came out, although it nearly falls apart when Kelly then says it's just a gesture, almost like helping someone get the virtual reality equivalent of a green card to get into the States. But all ends pretty well, for once. And who wouldn't want to live in the 80s forever? Take care. Alan from England.
Hello, Dave and Wayne, and all listeners to Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. This is Fred from the Netherlands with audio feedback 320 about the Black Mirror episode San Junipero, Season 3, Episode 4. Wow, this was a great episode. I think this is my favorite so far. I will give it a straight A+. But that's perhaps because the theme is close to home. And I will explain that a little bit, although it's not really a topic for a podcast, but nevertheless, I will say something about it. And I think that Wayne knows which direction this will go. Why does it hit home? Because euthanasia is a thing that is allowed in the Netherlands under very strict circumstances and rules. And my mother died in 2015 at the age of 88 by euthanasia. People always say, when a parent died or a loved one died, I lost him or her. When I think about it, I actually can't say I lost my mother. My mother died. But did I lose her? No, it was her biggest wish at the end of her life to die. So who am I to deny her that? And I'm actually having quite positive feelings looking backwards that she got her greatest wish fulfilled. And it was also a very somehow beautiful thing that happened because all her loved ones were around her. She was not alone and went very, very peacefully and actually happy. And of course, there were circumstances that made this possible. She was ill. She was losing a lot of weight. Was actually skin over bone, as we call it in the Netherlands, and that became worse and worse. And also my father was already admitted at that time in a clinic for people with Alzheimer's. So he was taken care of. She had what we call that a fulfilled life. She was married for more than 60 years and actually had a happy life, I think. She lost her health. She lost her partner. And although we tried to make her life at the end as nice as possible, it was just not enough. Okay, let's go into the episode. But with this in mind, you perhaps can understand what I think about the episode a little better. Most Black Mirror episodes are about cruelty, underdogs, teasing, social pressure, etc. But when this episode started, at least for the first, I think, one third, it was quite a kind of happy story, almost un-Black Mirror-like. At least as far as we saw the episode so far. Most of the episodes we saw now already have something disturbing in the beginning. I really thought something would go wrong. One of those girls would change into a werewolf or something like that. But okay, that's not very Black Mirror-like. That's too supernatural for Black Mirror. Main topic for Black Mirror is technology, and I didn't see how this could lead to that. So that was actually quite a surprising and positive thing. Although you get some idea when Kelly says, my time's up, and you see it's 2 minutes to 12. Okay, I have three little nitpicks. One is when old Kelly is visiting Yorkie in the hospital. Yorkie is not blinking even once and lays there with open eyes. Well, I can assure you, your eyes will dry out then. Second is that when Kelly comes back to her home, this nurse let this old woman with cancer climb the steep stairs. And the third one is that this society lets Yorkie live in a coma for even more than 40 years. On the other hand, if you have ways to communicate with your family or even with the nurse, in this case Greg, it becomes something different perhaps. Although you also have to consider the costs and the resources for that. But okay, it seems to be possible in this society. What I find great in this episode is the liberty to choose, which is quite limited in the other Black Mirror episode. So Yorkie can choose for staying in the cloud, let's say, with her consciousness. And Kelly can choose for a same way of dying and actually vanishing, just like her husband did and her daughter did. So you don't only have the liberty, more or less, to decide when you die, but also if you are choosing for a kind of afterlife or not. I think, by the way, that Kelly would have chosen differently when her daughter was also in this afterlife. She is just hoping for another kind of afterlife, the kind of which we describe as heaven or something like it. Great therapy, by the way, these little escapes once a week. And a good Alzheimer prevention. Greg says to old Kelly that she is limited to 5 hours of San Junipero therapy, because otherwise your body get dissociated from your mind. And then Kelly says, well, if that is not happening already in all kinds of retirement homes. So true. Greg also says that you need a sign off of the doctor, the patient and the family. Well, in our system of euthanasia, the family is not necessary. Actually, the patient is, of course, very important. And you have to be in your right mind for a longer time to decide that. So if you have dementia and have declared before, when you still were in your right mind, that you want euthanasia under so-and-so circumstances, it gets very difficult. So the great thing here, although Kelly is in a coma for 40 years, she still can be asked, due to this system, what she thinks herself about it. Greetings. All the best. Fred from the Netherlands.
You mentioned Alan in Minnesota, so let's go ahead and start with Alan. Alan, good point about cleaning up the rough edges of 80s fashion. They certainly gave us that flavor, but fortunately I didn't see too many parachute pants in there. Now, I have still not finished Altered Carbon either.
What?
And it is you know, like, what?
Dave, come on.
When they changed the actors, look, dude, I'm going to have the same problem with The Witcher when it finally comes back. And I'm hoping.
Well, also, did you see the guy who plays the mule in Foundation is out? The guy, new actor to play the mule?
No. So, now, granted, the mule's not The Witcher.
Right, it's a little bit different.
You know, but
he's not the main character.
So,
well, not yet.
Even though I can't think of the actor's name that is in season two of Altered Carbon as the main character.
Anthony Mackie.
Right, who I really like, but there was just something, I don't know, whatever. But it is, like Alan said, something I'm going to get back to.
Yeah, it's worth it. The season two is really good.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, you get, you know, kind of like this character, this actor in the role, and it's, you know, sometimes it's tough. I don't know how it's going to be with The Witcher. I don't know if it's going to work out very well. So a couple things. Well, with you know, it's funny because just watch this episode and thinking about, like, my dad and everything. Like, I was actually listening to Alan's Songs of the Years, covering the songs of Paul Simon, and that was like that last night that my dad was alive. We were kind of downstairs watching TV with him, and we were watching a some shows, like some retrospective of Paul Simon's career with, like, other people performing all his songs, and it was just really nice. So just kind of all these things are kind of happening at the same time for me, bringing all this back up. This is another thing. I don't know. I was just thinking about this episode with all these consciousnesses that are being saved in San Junipero. Well, then, you know, this kind of ties back to a little bit Hang the DJ at the end with all those consciousnesses just getting kind of deleted, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, which is an issue that Alan brought up before of, you know, I mean, this is a good for Alan's argument that these are, you know, like beings with that should, you know, have the same rights and everything as other sentient beings and everything. So anyway, that kind of I just thought about that as we were talking about this today. So.
Now, Alan in England points out that, like we said on the rewatch, all of these clues about Yorkie's personal history become clear, and, you know, it's easy to miss them if you only watch it once. And, you know, her reactions make so much more sense on the rewatch. What else with Alan?
Well, yeah, he mentioned Max Headroom again, which I thought was great. You know, Dune, I just don't get much chance to get out to this. I would love to see it at the movie theater, but it's just so expensive nowadays and also the time. But I hope you enjoyed it or enjoy it, whatever. And, you know, I'll probably wait till it comes out on demand probably before I see it. So,
yeah. Now, Fred tells his personal story about euthanasia. And as you said, it really, especially those of us with parents of a certain age, really hits home, as does this episode. But Fred points out, and you were kind of alluding to this a moment ago, one of the things in this episode is that we don't have any characters that really have their agency taken away the way we've seen in other episodes of Black Mirror. So, again, just another element that allows this episode to, you know, have a much more optimistic tone than the others. And, you know, it's, again, not to spoil, and I'm certainly not going to, that's kind of an issue that comes up in Three Body Problem, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't even want to say, you know, it's like, so if you've read the book or you've seen the whole series, you know what I'm talking about, although that you probably do. But anyway, right. What else about Fred?
Yeah, cool. Well, Fred also pointed out to us that how the actress playing Yorkie here also was in the most recent Terminator movie, which I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, a lot of people have, you know, dumped on the most recent Terminator movies. But that last one, which I wish I could remember what it's called. I mean, she was really good. I thought it was a really good movie. I thought it was a really good Terminator movie. I love the Terminator movies per se. The Genesis was the one I did not like. That's the only, I think, really the only like real stinker in the whole series. But that last one was good.
Daenerys Targaryen, is that one?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, she was
in Genesis, right?
She was in Genesis, yeah, yeah. That one sucked.
Yeah. You know what? I got to get back and watch that entire series again. It's been so long. And what are there? Five? I think there are five Terminator movies.
There was three, four, six.
Six. Okay. So, yeah, that's something I need to figure out what service they're on and go back and do a rewatch. But anyway, all right, Alan and Fred, thank you so much for the feedback.
Terminator Dark Fate, sorry.
Oh, there you go. you know, Fred gives it an A+. I give it an A. Are you ready to go?
Solid A. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's no International Assassin, but it is pretty darn good.
All right, well, we're closing in on the end of our journey with Black Mirror. We got 2 weeks to go before Fallout begins on Prime, and dude, I'm really looking forward to that. So hopefully expectations will be met, but that'll do it for this episode of Sci-Fi TV Rewatch. Thank you for joining us. Love to hear what you think about Black Mirror, anything else going on in your genre world. Sci-Fi TV Rewatch at gmail.com is the way you can reach us. We'll be back next week to talk about the Black Mirror episode Joan is Awful. But until then,
you know, Dave, I think one of the reasons why, you know, we're able to kind of keep this thing going and have a fan base is really because I am bodacious.